Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we will continue in our series of the fall of ancient Israel. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in to What Is To Be Done. We are a religio-political broadcast dealing with religio-political education, addressing current events, culture, history, and social problems with solutions brought to the table and discussed. Or you can visit our YouTube page on Knesset Yeshua, K-N-E-S-S-E-T-Y-S-H-U-A, and Zadok Ben Israel. If you visit those pages, you will find other pages we have with other videos on it. And as always, there's an open invitation for people listening on blog who want to tune in to our Skype classes on Wednesday and the Sabbath. Feel free. And also, if you go to any of these sites, we always have a number. If you have any questions or comments outside of Blog Talk, you can call the number that you see appearing on the videos. We're going to continue. And we're going to look at the coming of King Abijah. Abijah ben Rehoboam. And we're going to examine and get a little light how the Bible began to show us the errors of Judah, the policies of Judah compared to justice. We're going to look at how kingdom or empire began to turn into an empire, begin to plant seeds of imperialism inside of the clans of Judah. We're going to see how ritual cultists began to be the cover-up, and it began to be more important for religious or ritual cultists in place of justice. Now, we will be reading in 2 Chronicles, but before we go to 2 Chronicles, I would like for us to turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. And we want to bring this into our memory on what began to take place in the aristocratic empire of Judah. Solomon began to walk Judah down into an aristocratic empire, and they continued. And after Solomon was deceased, Rehoboam took the throne, and after a meeting, which was called by the leaders of the society, Rehoboam made up his mind on how he would move forward. They had come to him in 1 Kings. And at verse 3, I'll read it out of this text, the Jerusalem text. It said that as soon as Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard the news of Solomon's death, of course, he was still in Egypt, where he had taken refuge from King Solomon. He returned from Egypt. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for it was to Shechem that all Israel had gone to proclaim him king. And they said this to him: "Your father gave us a heavy burden to bear. Lighten your father's harsh tyranny now, and the weight of the burden he laid upon us, and we will serve you." So this was the thing. The children of Israel proclaimed tyranny against the rulers in the society. And if we go down further, this was his answer. Read verse 9 for me.
Chapter 12, verse 9?
Yes.
And he said unto them, "What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Make the yoke of thy father, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins.
Okay. This was the decree which was made. The tyranny will continue. Because we discussed in an earlier part of the series on how if you change the taxation and the forced labor, which was the burden that was put upon Israel, then you will have to change the whole economy and a redistribution of the wealth, and a lot of the policies will have to change. However, Rehoboam declared that he would not do that. He said that his little finger shall be heavier than all his father's loins. Now, let us move further to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 12. We want to understand why the children of Israel fell. I keep saying it. I got to, you know, what they say, repetition is the mother of learning or study. 2 Chronicles 12 and 1, notice what began to take place.
And it came to pass,
mm-hmm,
when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him.
Now, you know he did, because he declared that he will continue in tyranny. So you knew. You know he forsook the law of God. It's not that he just did it, but this is what he had done. He had forsaken the law of justice, because he said he will continue the forced labor. He will chastise you with whips. He will make sure that you will not lose one iota of profit. He want to make sure that the gross national product will not diminish in the slightest bit. He don't want it to diminish, he wanted to increase. Now, continue to read.
Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, because they had transgressed against the Lord.
Now, this is what happened in imperialism. Imperialism breeds war. Shishak come up against the children of Judah. We're not getting into the politics on why it happened, but he didn't just wake up one day and figure, I'm just going to attack Judah for no reason. In the world of politics, war is provoked. Now, there was ties between the children of Israel and the house of Egypt, because Solomon himself built some of those bridges, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shishak rose up and had a problem with the government in Judah. Continue.
Verse 3, with 1,200 chariots and 80,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubims and the Sukims and the Ethiopians, and he took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem.
He took the fenced cities and besieged Jerusalem. What verse you at?
Verse, that was the end of verse 4.
Continue.
Verse 5. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the kings humbled themselves, and they said, Lord, the Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries.
So it says here in the Jerusalem book, in a little while I will grant them deliverance. My wrath shall not fall on Jerusalem through the power of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall become his slaves, so that they may come to understand the difference between serving me and serving the kingdoms of foreign countries. Now, why is that relevant? Well, what path did Rehoboam take? He took the path of imperialism. In the path of imperialism, this is what happens. So now, since you want to serve imperialism, I'm going to have you serve an imperialist. Since you have brought a heavy burden upon your countrymen, now I will cause an imperialist to rule over you. And you're going to know. You're going to be a vassal. Okay? Saul has set it up where the children of Israel were vassals under their own king, or later became aristocratic emperors. Now you shall be vassals, and you shall understand now what it means to be a vassal. What else took place?
Verse 9. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem.
Shishak, the king of Egypt, marched on Jerusalem, and what did he take?
And took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. The treasures of the king's house he took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made.
So it reads here, he took all the treasures from the temple of Yahweh and the treasures from the royal palace. Now, we read last week the temple was what? An engine in what?
For the economy.
Now the Almighty is attacking me. See, remember, Rehoboam wanted to squeeze every bit of labor power from his own people. All of the wealth he will accumulate through that labor power, who's taking it? Shishak. And who we going to do? And all of the wealth he thought he was going to have for himself, now you are a vassal. And you're going to have to take that wealth and you're going to have to give it to another. The palace and the temple were driving the economy. What verse you at now?
Verse 10.
Mm-hmm. Read 10.
Instead of which, King Rehoboam made the shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guards that kept the entrance of the king's house.
All right. Now, let's skip down to verse 16.
Verse 16. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and Abijah, his son, reigned in his stead.
Abijah. Now, what was going on in Judah before Abijah reigned? Judah had descended into vassals. Rehoboam humbled himself where Jerusalem wasn't totally destroyed. But why? Why did this happen to Rehoboam? Well, we read it in the beginning. He refused to show justice to the inhabitants. Okay? This is an example. While we're reading through the Kings, it's all one story. We're understanding now Israel being shaken up. Inevitably, it's going to lead to the ultimate fall of the nation. But what's the problem? Why have they been delivered into the hands of their enemies? Because they forsook the law of God. And when we look at when he forsook the law of God, he oppressed the people. Interhuman justice did not exist inside of the kingdom of Judah. Okay? Now, it told us also in that Chronicles. What I have you read?
Second Chronicles, that was the end of chapter 12.
Second Chronicles 12 you was reading, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe I missed it, but I'm pretty sure it was in there. They said that they forsook the law of the Almighty, right?
Mm-hmm.
When he began to establish himself
in the kingdom, he forsook the law and transgressed. Okay? And
that was in verse 5. And then they humbled themselves afterwards.
Say it again.
And
that
verse 6, where he says, whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves.
That's when they humbled themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read in verses 2, it told us that Shishak rose up and he came with the
horsemen,
Lubims and Sukkims,
mm-hmm.
and Ethiopians.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lubims are the Libyans and the Ethiopians. The Sukkims means tent dwellers. So you're looking at all the people in the corner, almost on the horn of Africa, coming up, all of them imperialist nations. Egypt, imperialist. Libya, imperialist. Ethiopia, imperialist. And they descended upon the kingdom of Israel, and the empire of Israel began to be diminished. Now we're going to take it into Abijah. All right? And after Rehoboam slept, let's go right into it. Chapter 13.
Verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah.
Now, Rehoboam is asleep. And we see how Abijah's reign is going right into the reign of Jeroboam, okay? So that's why Jeroboam is somewhat indirectly connected in this segment tonight. Continue.
He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah.
He reigned 3 years. 3 years. His mother's name was Micaiah, daughter of Uriel of Gibeah, right? You finished that verse?
And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam.
Now, there was war now. Civil war between families. They are already vassals to Egypt. They are falling apart all over. Like when James said money is the root of all evil, he meant it. But money, not just money itself. The love of money, which created an economy. People, you must understand that we are dealing with government here. The corruption in the government is what's causing this problem. Now, 3 years. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 15 and see what's happened with this Abijah. Now, we see presently, when Abijah takes the throne, we already know the 10 tribes have fallen into trouble because of the two calves, the schools from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Abijah. He ascended to the throne, but the Bible let us know that there was already a problem in Judah because Rehoboam, his father, forsook the law. We read in First Kings 12.
Mm-hmm.
It declared to us that he refused to remove the tyranny over the people.
Mm-hmm.
Keep all of this in context, what we're reading. The tyranny is there. Now they are vassals under Egypt. Abijah coming through the throne, and he reigned 3 years. Now look at this in 1 Kings 15 and 1.
Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah.
Mm-hmm.
3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Abishalom.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father.
He walked in all the sins of his father. His father was who? Rehoboam.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the sins of Rehoboam? Tyranny. Oppression. Isn't that what we read when he took the counsel of the young men?
Mm-hmm.
The basis of his sin was tyranny and oppression. And
Abijah walked in the sins of tyranny and oppression, just like his daddy. Now continue.
Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Verse 5. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite.
Mm-hmm.
And there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life.
There was war between the two, civil war between the two, all the days of Abijam's rule. Okay? What verse you stop at?
Verse 7.
All right. Now, let's go back to 2 Chronicles. Abijah did what? Evil. He walked in the sins of his daddy. We read about it. The corruption in the society, he continued. But notice this.
Verse 3.
And where were you at? 2 Chronicles?
Yeah, chapter 13. Mm-hmm.
Start at verse 4 from.
Verse 4. And Abijah stood up upon the Mount Zimraim,
mm-hmm.
which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, Hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat.
Notice this. Jeroboam is screaming against, Abijah is screaming against Jeroboam and said, Don't you know that the kingdom was given to David by a covenant of salt? Now, this is a wicked man now. When you read both of them, you got to read them both to get the full story. You just read this one, it looked like Abijam was on point. Notice the hypocrisy and his emphasis on the ritual in Israel. And keep in mind that he did the sins of Rehoboam, his daddy. Now, he said, don't you know that the kingdom was given to David by a covenant of Saul? Continue.
Verse 6. Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord.
Now, is that true? Who called Jeroboam to the throne? The prophet came to Jeroboam.
Mm-hmm.
Abijam got it all. You see, you find this in Israel. You find this in people today. Distorting the truth. See, he called himself representing, but he's distorted the truth. No. Jeroboam was a tax collector, and he was within the government of Judah. Then a prophet came to him and told him, God's going to give you the 10 tribes. Abijam not telling us the full truth. Continue to read and let's find out more about Abijam.
Verse 7. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them.
Isn't that something? When Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted. You mean that same Rehoboam that said he's going to make his little finger heavier than all his father's loins? That tender-hearted? Rehoboam? Damn, I would hate to see him when he's mad then, huh? If he can do all that in his tenderness, we would sure enough hate to see him, boy, when he's rough. This is what you see today. A distorting of the text. By us reading the text, we understand that Abijam or Abijah, one and the same, he's not telling the full truth. You understand? And he is saying here, that Jeroboam rebelled against his daddy when he was young and tender of heart. Continue to read this testimony of Abijah.
Verse 8, And now ye think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of his son David.
What do we have here? Abijah declared that he was representing the kingdom of who?
David.
He said the kingdom of who?
The sons of David.
No, he said you have rebelled against what? The kingdom of who?
Oh, the Lord. in the hands of the Son of God.
Now, isn't that interesting? How many people today claim that they stand on God's side? How many people today? I'm sure, like I say, you know, Abijah, he probably spoke the finest of the Hebrew. He was educated in aristocratic schools. I'm sure Abijah wore his fringes. He probably had his beard. Probably not, but I'll say he did.
Give him that one.
And he's saying that he stood in the kingdom of God. He declared that he was in this truth. That's people like to say. Oh, that irritates me. This truth. Yeah, okay. But what did the scripture say about Abijah? That he walked in the sins of his father. How is it that the Bible could teach us that Abijah walked in the sins of his father, but at the same time, showing us here where Abijah believes that he is standing in the kingdom of God? That's a problem. And notice what he's going to bring to the table to confirm truly that he's over the kingdom of God. Notice.
Verse 9.
Hmm.
Have you not cast out the priest of the Lord, the sons of Aaron?
Have you not cast out the priest?
And the Levites?
Uh-huh.
And have made you priest after the manner of nations of other lands? So that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are not gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God.
Wait a minute. He said, as for us, the house of Judah, Yahweh is our God. What verse is that?
That's the middle of verse 10.
He said, in the Jerusalem Bible, anyone who comes with a bull and seven rams to get himself consecrated can become a priest. This is what he's railing against Jeroboam about, right? They could become a priest of what is no God at all. But for our part, our God is Yahweh, and we have not abandoned him. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
He said he represents Yahweh. Now, this is the difference. This is beginning to teach us the difference between Samaria and Judah. They were both disgusting whores. But Samaria blatantly went out and put up two calves. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We see Judah doing what? They're standing under the banner of Yahweh, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
This is the problem. This is the problem. He's saying he stood up under the banner of Yahweh, but you read earlier for me, 2 Chronicles, or 1 Kings 15.
He walked in the sins of his father.
He walked in the sins of his father and did evil in the sight of Yahweh. Is that what it said? Yeah.
Now in the 1 Kings chapter 15. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah.
Uh-huh.
3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Abishalom.
Go ahead.
And he walked in all the sins of his father.
The sins of his father was what? Tyranny and oppression, partly, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
He walked in all the sins of his father, but go ahead.
Which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father.
Now, let's go back here. Now, this same Abijah who walked in the sins of his father, declaring that he stands in the kingdom of Yahweh. He got the priest on his part. And that was verse 10 you was reading. Read 10 again for me back in 2 Chronicles 13, verse 10.
But as for us, the Lord is our God,
mm-hmm.
and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business.
Uh-huh.
Verse 11, they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The shewbread also set they in order upon the pure table.
Lord have mercy. What do we have? It says here We have not abandoned him, meaning he said here, but on our part, God, our God is Yahweh, and we have not abandoned him, our priests, our sons of Aaron, who minister to Yahweh, and those who serve our Levites. Every morning, every evening, we burn holocaust to Yahweh, our God. We have the incense of sweet spices. So they burning offerings, they got incense. The loaves set out in rolls on the pure table. The golden lampstand with its lamps that burn each evening. We observe the ritual of Yahweh our God, but you have abandoned him. We observe the ritual. What does it say in there?
You want me to start from that? Or just
that should
read that
be
part?
Verse 11, I believe.
You know what I'm saying? You want me to just, but you have forsaken him, or start where I stopped?
Start where you stopped.
And the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof,
uh-huh,
to burn every evening, for we keep the charges of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him.
Now, you look it up, the charges are the rituals. Mm-hmm. We keep the rituals. What was the accusation against Jeroboam? You continuing your sin because you have abandoned the ritual. Who was the argument with Abijah? It was all on the priesthood. Everything he named was pertaining to the priesthood. What did we read about the priest in the temple? The temple what? Economy. The temple is the engine that drives the economy. Is it a coincidence that the priesthood has high priority in a nation of men who seeking after wealth? Nothing else. Is this new? Notice this. This is what his daddy said. Hold that marker there. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Psalms chapter 4. The fourth division of the Psalms. Oh, we keep the ritual. And that's the problem today. Is that the people believe that they have come into this truth, whether they're Christians, whether they so-called Israelites, whether they Sabbatarians, whether they Seventh-day Adventists, they believe that they have come to know God and stand in the counsel of God or even stand in the kingdom of God because they only keep rituals. Rituals. We burn incense. We got the sacrifices. We got the priest, the son of Aaron. We keep all the ritual of Yahweh. But yet, he claimed that they keep the ritual, but the Bible said that he did evil before Yahweh, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to it. It's going to get more pronounced when the prophets come. This is a glimpse of it right now, what we read right now. That's why we got to read the whole book, not pieces, the whole book, to find out the whole story. I ask you to go to the fourth division of Psalms, starting at section 2, verse 2.
O ye sons of men.
O ye sons of men.
How long will ye turn my glory into shame?
How long will ye turn my glory into shame?
How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing?
How long will you serve vanity and seek after leasing? Isn't that something? Leasing. How long are you going to serve vanity seeking after wealth? Continue.
Verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself.
The Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself.
The Lord will hear when I call unto him.
Uh-huh.
Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Say, love. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us.
He said, listen here. The works of Yahweh, the wonders. He said, set upon your bed in a quiet meditation. And what kind of sacrifice did he say offer?
Offer the sacrifices of righteousness.
What righteousness mean?
Justice.
Now, if Abijam would have read this that his daddy wrote, then maybe he wouldn't have been making a fool out of himself. He want to offer the sacrifices of bulls. But David wrote, offer the sacrifices of justice. Abijam wanted to offer the sacrifices of ritual. He didn't want to offer the sacrifices of justice. And notice the dilemma. Abijam is accusing the pagan, isn't he? Because Jeroboam went after paganism. He went after the nations. That's what paganism means. We have Abijam, who followed a ritual, who's accusing the pagans of doing wrong. All in the meanwhile, he's following a ritual, and he's just like the pagans themselves. Sound like the same dilemma people in the day. They call on Yahweh, Yahuwah. They keep the ritual of the law, call themselves keeping the Passover, everything else. But yet, what about the sacrifices of justice? They don't know nothing about it, many of them, because many of them haven't been taught. Those are the teachings on how these educational institutions haven't taught you about justice. The views of justice in this land are distorted. You don't even know what it is on a regular. Now, but anyhow, he said, I want you to offer the sacrifices of justice. Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
How long you going to love delusions and leasing, right? Now, move forward to Psalms 40. Psalms 40. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Even righteousness. When you talk about righteousness today, a lot of people don't know what that is. You understand what I'm trying to say? Righteousness, I don't know, you know, they think righteousness is ritual. See people following some rituals, they think they're righteous. You see people who are supposed to be philosophers, you think that they're righteous. No. No. Stay tuned. God willing, we'll share more of what he has taught us about righteousness. Psalm 40, right? Start at verse 6.
Psalms division 40.
Uh-huh.
Part 6.
Now remember, Abijam boasted in the rituals of sacrifices, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Notice this.
Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire.
Hmm.
Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me.
Go ahead. To do what?
I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart.
Now, if the law was written within his heart, then he wouldn't have been following the same sins of Rehoboam, his father, would he? He wouldn't have been oppressing his people. That's if the law was written in his heart. But it wasn't. Continue to read.
Verse 9. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation.
I have preached righteousness, or I have preached justice inside of your great society. Inside of your great kingdom, I have proclaimed justice. This is what God desires, not the sacrifices and the rituals. In other words, is he saying don't offer sacrifices? No, he's letting you know what he requires first. He won't tell us. Continue to read.
Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest.
Go ahead.
I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart.
I have not hid thy justice within.
I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation.
That's not it. Let's move a little forward. Let's go to right over to chapter 50, or division 50, verses 1 and 2. Notice, we want to make it real clear here that Abijah claimed that he stood before Yahweh. He claimed that he was over the kingdom of Yahweh. He claimed and blasted at the degenerate road that Jeroboam took. All in the meanwhile, he boasted, Abijah or Abijam boasted in the sacrifices and rituals. And we're going to show you why. But first, we want to get it clear. This king, Abijam or Abijah, which was the great grandson of David, failed to read what his great granddaddy wrote. This is what his great grandfather wrote. Now, that division 50, start at verses 1 and 2.
The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined.
Out of Zion should come forth the perfection of beauty. A just society, a just kingdom, which will bring light to the face of this world, to bring the perfection of beauty. But continue.
Our God shall come.
He will come.
And shall not keep silent.
Yes, sir.
A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around round about him.
He shall come in judgment. And verse 5 says what?
Gather my saints together unto me.
Uh-huh.
Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Let's see what he's talking about. Go ahead.
And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah.
Go ahead.
Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel.
Listen to this.
And I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God.
What do you say?
I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me.
I would not reprove you to have these offerings continually before me. Why is this?
Verse 9, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills.
What does God to do? See, he's sort of teaching that all what Abijah boasted in, his great granddaddy said, you know what, that's not even a priority. That's not what he want first. Who cares about your sacrifice and offerings, Abijah, when you continue in the tyranny of your father, Rehoboam? Continue. Or should I say, this is not David. Rehoboam was David's
grandson.
Right. So, yeah, Abijah, that is his great-granddaddy. But continue to read.
Verse 11. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine.
All of the mountains have everything I possess in them, the beast and the fowl. Continue.
If I was hungry, I would not tell thee.
Go ahead.
For the world is mine and the fullness thereof.
Notice this.
Will I eat flesh of bulls or drink blood or drink the blood of goats?
What's being said here? You making sacrifice. Like Saul. Saul made sacrifices a priority. He didn't kill a king, and he kept the cattle. He told Samuel, we're going to make sacrifices. Almighty's asking. I'm not like these other deities. Okay? They keep silent. They don't talk because they're not real. But notice the question. Will I eat the flesh of bulls? Will he? Will the God of Israel eat the flesh of bulls? Yeah? No. Who eats the flesh of the bull?
You do.
The priest did. You understand what we're getting at here? You hear what he's proclaiming? I don't eat the flesh. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. You're not bringing these offerings of sacrifice before me because I'm hungry. Who eating it? Who being fed? What hungry soul is being fed off the sacrifice? The priest.
Mm-hmm.
The one, the aristocrat. Who get rich off the temple economy. You understand where we're going with this? Rehoboam uplifts the ritual. And he uplifts the ritual that funneled money to the priest and wealth. And in turn, added wealth unto himself. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Will I drink the blood of goats? He's asking. But what did he say in verse 14?
Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High.
He said, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. That's what he's proclaiming, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Skip right over to 51, verses 15. Section 51, verse 15.
Oh, Lord.
You mean to tell me that this King David got all of this to say? And Abijah got tangled all up in his ritual, claiming, though, that he is serving and sitting in the seat of Yahweh. I tell you, brothers and sisters, open your eyes wide, because it's the same dilemma today. That's why we need to know why Israel fell. We got to find out their error and find that 2,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, it's the same today. 51 and 15, what does it tell us?
O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise.
Go ahead, brother.
For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering.
And we're going to get to all of those who think that they're going to make a sacrifice. You know, people say, well, they can't make no sacrifice now. All right, we give the sacrifice of prayer. We're going to show you what the prophet said about that, too. Our intention is to show the people who all going to listen that the ritual is not the weightier matter. The weightier matter is justice. And as long as all those who claim to believe the Bible do not know how to stand and establish justice, then you nowhere. You nowhere. You think you're going to stand on the sideline while people starving? You think you're going to stand on the sideline while people being oppressed? You think you're going to stand on the sideline while people sleeping under bridges? And the only thing you're going to do is pass out a few Band-Aids and give out a couple of hamburgers? You got it wrong. You got it wrong. It's more than that that the Almighty is requiring for us to do. So now he is saying here, you desire not sacrifice. He said, where else will I give it?
Mm-hmm.
What else he say?
Verse 17.
No, finish 16. I don't think you finished 16, did you?
Mm-hmm. Thou delightest not in burnt offering.
You delightest not in burnt offering, everything that Abijah was boasting in. You don't delight in that. Continue.
Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
Notice this.
Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem.
What else?
Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar.
When you do justice, when you do good, then your sacrifice will mean something. Rehoboam didn't do good. His son Abijam didn't do good. But yet he believed that he was standing in the counsel of God. Now, notice what Abijam's granddaddy said. Let's go into Proverbs 21 and 2. Even though he messed up, Solomon claimed his senses wasn't taken away from him. He found out the conclusion of the whole matter. And this is what he said. Proverbs 21 verses 2 and 3.
Every way of a man is right in his own eyes.
Is that right? Uh-huh.
But the Lord pondereth the hearts.
Mm-hmm.
To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
Now let's go back. Now he said to do justice and judgment. Isn't that what we've been reading by David? To do justice and judgment is more acceptable than sacrifice. Now what in the world is Abijam talking about? He up here running off his trap, hollering out to Jeroboam on how Jeroboam had picked up two calves, fell off into paganism, but yet Abijam is declaring that he stand in the kingdom of Yahweh. And he made all of this fanfare about the priest. Go to Leviticus chapter 7. And fact, go on to Leviticus 27 first. Let's look at the power of the priesthood, why it was very important for an aristocratic king to uplift the priesthood, just like it was important for the king of Egypt to uplift the priest of Ammon, just like it was important for the king of the Hittites to uplift Baal or Melcom. It was important for the Babylonians, their king, to uplift their priests and their schools. Leviticus 27 and verses 1 and 2.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation.
The persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. Look at the power of the priests. They have the power to set prices upon people, houses, and land. What verse you at there?
The end of verse 2.
Set the estimation upon what?
Verse 3. And thy... I'm sorry, did you want me to read verse 3?
Yeah, read it again so we understand the estimation again.
Leviticus 27, verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when a man shall make a singular vow...
We shall make a singular vow.
The persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation.
That's verses 1 and 2?
Mm-hmm.
Skip down to verse 8.
Verse 8. But if he be poorer than thy estimation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall value him according to his ability.
The priest shall value him according to his ability. Go ahead.
That vowed shall the priest value him.
See the power of the priest? What we're looking at, Abijam setting up and declaring that but for our part, he declared, on the part of the empire of Judah, our God is Yahweh, and we have not abandoned him. Our priests are the sons of Aaron who minister to Yahweh, and those who serve are Levites. Every morning, every evening, we burn holocaust to Yahweh, our God. We have the incense and sweet spices. He got the Levites, he has the priests there, we have these offerings going on there. And Almighty said, listen, if I was hungry, would I ask you?
No.
What is it more important that Solomon said? He said, justice and judgment is more important than sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that Abijah did evil, but yet he declared that he is sitting on the, he said his God is Yahweh. That's what he declared.
Mm-hmm. Sitting in the government of the Lord.
And he said that he sit, that is what he said, didn't he? That he sit in the government of Yahweh. Continue to read. What verse you stop at?
In Leviticus?
Yeah, in Leviticus. That what you read? You think? I believe you read verse 8 for me.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Go ahead and continue.
Verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
And if it be a beast, whereof men bring an offering unto the Lord.
Go ahead.
All that any man giveth of such unto the Lord shall be holy.
Go ahead.
Verse 10. He shall not alter it, nor chart, nor change it. A good for a bad, or a bad for a good.
So now we have the priest able to estimate the power of an individual. We have the priest who's receiving offerings of beast. Because remember, every offering a person brought, they couldn't sacrifice upon the altar, right? You know why? Because don't think that the land of Israel ain't had no pigs and nothing else in the land. The pigs, is, you know, that's a part of God's creation. You just couldn't kill them on the altar. Okay? They cleaned up the land. Don't think that, you know, people think, well, just because it's unclean, it wasn't in the land of Israel. No, you just couldn't offer it. They had a whole lot of animals in there you couldn't eat. But if you brought any of them before God, the priest had the power over it. Continue.
Continue. I was in the middle of 10.
Uh-huh.
And if he shall at all change beast for beast,
mm-hmm.
then it and the exchange thereof shall be holy.
Go ahead.
11, and if it be any unclean beast of which they do not offer a sacrifice unto the Lord.
See, if it's any unclean beast, pig, camel, okay, that we don't offer as a sacrifice, go ahead.
Then he shall present the beast before the priest.
Uh-huh.
And the priest shall value it, whether it be good or bad, as thou valuest it. Who art the priest, so shall it be. But if he will at all redeem it, then he shall add a fifth part thereof unto thy estimation.
So if you want to even get your beast back or redeem your beast, then you even got to add a fifth to it. Now, why am I reading this? To show you that to keep the priesthood and his ritual thriving, and to use the priesthood like Abijam did as a criteria of being on the justice, or to as a criteria of being in the kingdom of Yahweh, we can understand why this will work in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
Priest got a whole lot of power. But David was explaining all his sacrifice, everything these priests doing. Justice is first. Because you got to have justice first, or else this whole, all of this power that these priests wield could turn into downright corruption. What it did. That's what happened. You finish verse 12? Verse 14.
Verse 14. And when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord.
When a man want to sanctify his house, who shall give the estimation?
Then the priest shall estimate it.
Then the priest shall be the estimate. He's going to tell you what it's worth. Go ahead.
Whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand.
Go ahead.
Verse 15. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of money of that estimation unto it.
You hear what that? The priest going to set the price on what the house worth. What if the priest get crooked? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
Now you want to redeem the house back. If the priest was crooked and gave you an estimation that wasn't just, you still got to add a fifth part. And what is supporting the priest in his power? The law of God.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? How in to set in this priest's office, you could do serious damage to the people. Like a lot of them. He said, the water company. You must got a vendetta against the water company. They sent you a large bill.
No, I'm just saying. Or all of them. Energy, gas.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. They can set the prices. They own it.
They set the prices. A straight monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
What other verse? 16? You finished 16?
Well, no, that was 15.
Go ahead, read 16.
Yeah, okay. And if a man shall sanctify unto himself the Lord some part of a field of his possession,
houses, people, land, all the priests had power to estimate it. You want to redeem it again? Then you got to add a fifth part, boy. The temple truly can be an engine to drive the economy, and you let this kind of power get in the hands of the wrong people. The people going to suffer, man. And you know that's what happened. This is what happened. That's why the priesthood was so important to the rich. Notice, continue.
Then thy estimation shall be according to the seed thereof, and an homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver.
Skip down to verse 19.
Verse 19, and if he that sanctified the field will in any wise redeem it, then he shall add the fifth part of money of thy estimation unto it,
Lord,
and shall be assured
mercy
to him.
If these priests was, and if you're looking at Abijam, who claimed he still got these sacrifices going on, he still got the sons of Levi there, I guarantee you, boy, they getting a lot of revenue if they're not doing justice. Did they do justice? Don't we know that? We know that, though, don't we? Because that's what the Bible said, didn't
it?
He continued in the sins of his father Rehoboam, and Rehoboam said he will make his little finger heavier than all of his father's loins. This is what Israel did to Israel. This is what the house of Judah did to Israel in the name of Yahweh, though. You understand what I'm trying to say? Abijam said that he stands. He said, our part is with our God, Yahweh. He did evil in the name of Yahweh. And that's why the Almighty said, you're going to call these people to forget my name. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Look, let's go to Leviticus 7. Let's go find a little bit more that the priest had. Not, see, they just didn't estimate land, houses, and people. Okay? They were an integral part of the economy. The priesthood itself was an integral part of the economy. But what was the job of Yahweh priest? It was to distribute the wealth to the poor, to the stranger. This separate, do you know that, that I have, let me just put it this way, because there's a lot of records out there. I haven't heard of no record like that. That it was mandatory in the legislation that the priesthood had to share the wealth with everybody in society who needed it. But the pagans did something different. The priests only shared the wealth among the few aristocrats. This is what separated the God of Israel. This is what separated him. This is what separates him to this day. And that's why the people don't know him to this day. They don't know what justice is. You know how I know they don't know what justice is? Because every time you hear these people on the news, whether they're leaders, whether whoever the hell, heck they are, they want to sit up here and talk about what they need to do to fix the people, what they need to do to fix the economy. And you know, one, I don't never hear one mumbling word that capitalism must be destroyed. There is no redemption in capitalism, just like there was no redemption in feudalism. Feudalism had to be destroyed. And it morphed into capitalism, an industrial form of feudalism. Okay, it's no more nepotism now. Now it's the merchants who reign, not the families like it was in feudalism. But however, the objective is still the same, power and wealth. There is no justice in this. And as long as they're not talking about destroying it, just like the Messiah came on the scene and talked about commercialization, got to go. When we talk about how he went on the Sea of Galilee, you go and do some research about what was going on in Galilee. Is that Herod, Antipas, was commercializing the Sea of Galilee. Okay? They were turning the hills of Judea and the surrounding territory in Israel into small metropolises to make money. They building up. They started to build just like you see today. What do they call it today? Development. Then you really understand why Jesus of Nazareth was on the seashore among all them fishers, because things was changing on the Sea of Galilee. Customs and taxation couldn't even afford to fish. That's why when you read into the Gospels, it was three or four of the apostles. I think it was Zebedee and Peter and them, they had formed a cooperative. They could not even afford to even fish on the Sea of Galilee. Read between the lines and research the history. We're dealing with the same problem today. Leviticus 7 and verse 8. What else? What other power we see that these priests and the aristocratic class have? Leviticus 7 and verse 8.
And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering.
Hold on, because I read here that Abijam said, but for our part, our God is Yahweh, and we have not abandoned him. Our priests are the sons of Aaron who minister to Yahweh, and those who serve our Levites. Every morning, every evening we burn holocaust to Yahweh. Our God. Wait a minute now. He said they bring these burnt offerings. So when you brought a burnt offering to the priest, what happened? Continue. You were back in Leviticus.
Mm-hmm. The skin of the burnt offering.
The leather.
Which he had offered.
Uh-huh.
Verse 9. And all the meat offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan.
Go ahead.
And in the pan.
Uh-huh.
Shall be the priest that offereth it.
You get leather and food. Now, you know leather is expensive. Mm-hmm. Leather is a commodity. That's why I always said, listen, you going to bring these sacrifices to me? If I was hungry, would I tell you? Am I going to eat the flesh of the bull? Who eating the flesh of the bull? The priest. The priest eating it. So for Abijam to make a claim of the ritual of the sacrifices, this, the Bible is teaching us, he catered none other than to the aristocratic class in Judea. When he uplifted the ritual that benefited a few, he claimed that he was in the eyes of Yahweh. You mean to tell me this priest get the skin, he get the leather, and he get the flesh? What verse you at?
Verse 10.
Read verse 10, then we're going to skip.
And every meat offering.
Every meat offering. All these food offerings.
Mingled with oil.
Go ahead.
And dry shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another.
Boy, that's why the Almighty, I'm not eating at the table. So what we begin to see take place? We read about it in Egypt. We read about it in Babylon. When the peasants brought all of the bulls, the grain, the produce from the field, when they brought it to the temple, who ate of it? The priest, the rich. That's who ate of it. And we know Abijam. He said, in the Jerusalem Bible, Yahweh is our God. He said the golden lampstand with the lamps that burn each evening. For we observe the ritual of Yahweh our God, but you have abandoned him. Abijah was correct. They observed the ritual. You finish verse 10 for me?
Mm-hmm.
Read verse 28.
Leviticus 7:28. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
yes, sir?
Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord,
go ahead,
shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast, it shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord.
The fat and the breast he shall bring, that what shall be waved as a wave offering?
That the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord.
He's going to wave the breast before the Lord. Continue.
Verse 31. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar.
Now, the fat going to be burnt on the altar.
But the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons.
But the breast shall be eaten by the aristocrats. I'm not calling Aaron and his sons aristocrats. Those who do justice, I'm not calling them aristocrats. I'm talking about those under the reign of Abijam, how the priesthood could become crooked, and they're going to be fed to the full. They're going to have possession of raw materials. They're going to have the power to estimate the price of land. They're going to have power to estimate the price of men. They're going to have power to estimate the price of property. All of this power they will inside of the priestly domain. And for it to get corrupt, it'd be a problem. And it got corrupt even in the days of Samuel, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they petitioned for a king anyway, because within the judicial system it got corrupted. And what verse you finished?
That was 29.
Finish. Go ahead and read a little bit more for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, I lied. That was like verse 30. No, yeah, okay, that was verse 32. Verse 32. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder of his part.
They shall have the right shoulder. They shall have the breast. Continue.
Verse 34. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel.
Wait a minute now. Notice this. A statute forever. A statute forever to his sons. Throughout their generations, we see that the people could bring in to the priest tremendous amount of wealth. When you just read through the text, I'm sure people may listen to me explain it this way and say, man, I done gone off my rocker. But we read the text that Abijam claimed that he stood in this place that Yahweh was his God.
Mm-hmm.
He kept the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible teaches us that Abijam forsook the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
He only reigned 3 years. He probably acted a fool. He only got 3 years. Now, was this something new? Let's go into Luke chapter 20 and find that the house of Judah continued that same monstrosity, even after chastisement. Luke chapter 20, start at verse 45.
Luke chapter 20.
Now, with this history, we could sort of see what the Messiah was dealing with. Luke 20 and verse 45.
Then, in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples,
he said unto his students,
beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robes and love greeting in the markets, in the high seats in the synagogues, in the chief rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a show make long prayers, and the same shall receive greater damnation.
Yeah, he talked about the priests who walked in the long robes and loved to be greeted in the market squares. That's what the Jerusalem Bible say. They love to be greeted in the market square. All right. And continue to read. What else did they do?
That was going to verse 21.
Read to me about the widow.
I'm sorry, verse 47, which devours widows' houses, and for a show makes long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation.
Now, this is what the Jerusalem Bible says. It says, beware of the scribes who like to walk about in long robes. Verse 47, who swallow the property of widows. Now, we just finished reading the power that the priests had over property, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And their collection of tithes, and later on in the Mashiach day, taxation. He said, who swallowed the property of widows while making a show of lengthy prayers. This is the same dilemma of Abijam. They're going to devour the widow property, but at the same time make a prayer to Yahweh. Abijam was continued in the sins of the tyranny of his father, but yet proclaimed to Jeroboam that Yahweh is their God, and he is with them. If we would have finished reading it, we will, before we close out, because we're almost done right here. Go right into chapter 21. We're going to show you that even a delusion which took place. We say you've seen a strong delusion that you will believe a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with Abijam, because they wind up winning a war against Jeroboam. But you don't know that you won a war against Jeroboam because of the evilness of Jeroboam, not because of your own righteousness, because Abijam didn't have none. Notice, it says here, verse 1 in chapter 21.
And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you.
Of a truth I say. Go ahead.
That this poor widow hath cast in more than they all.
Now, wait a minute. You see what's going on? How the temple is devouring the poor people. While they saying prayers. Do we devour one another now while we saying prayers? How many of us eat at our table? And we don't think twice about the brothers and sisters who's oppressed and laboring in other parts of the world and even parts of the state, United States themselves, to bring bread into these grocery stores. There is no organizing among the so-called Hebrews to do justice to this, among the so-called Christians. They're organized for everything else that bring wealth, that uplift capitalism. But to organize, to kill, is a system of capital. Not one mumbling word among the religious. Because they stuck in ritual. And they think they on God's side. But you better realize something. He said that his people are his hands, his body. And we got work to do. And I'm telling you, the front line of the battle is hot. Especially up here in America. People, the black folks up here, and the so-called believers up here in America that have plenty of wealth accessible to them. We could be doing far more after organizing to aid our brothers and sisters all over the place. But that don't even come to their mind. Do you know why? Because one day God gonna come and fix it all. Ain't nothing you can do about it. And you know what I say about that. If that's the case, why did the 12 apostles grow into 70? Why did that small band of people turn the world upside down? Why did they do what they did? You better wake up and understand what we're being called to. You got to be called to something if the Messiah say, well, listen, you're going to be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. You got to be doing something to be brought before rulers of the world. And believe me, it ain't going to be just because you done kept the Sabbath day. Now look, Matthew 23. How about you kept the Sabbath day? Matthew 23, and start reading at verse 23. And I know that, again, of some of the things I'm saying now, if you have no knowledge of any kind of social science, no knowledge of social justice, what I'm saying now, people don't have a clue. It don't even resonate. It don't even make sense. Their whole idea of social justice is so fairy tale like. It's not even in detail in people's minds how to even go about to organize. And people want to sit up here, and you know that the Bible done gave us and history done showed us. Look at us now, tradesmen. I'm a tradesman. You go to school. You learning the trade. We have people who call in learn trades, able to go into the schools and the universities. How'd that happen? How did that happen? Did people have to organize for that to happen? Did people have to organize and stand on the front lines and get shot at for that to happen? Mm-hmm. You think that what we have today and the so-called progress that we made today just took place because people just prayed and did nothing and one day God came and fixed it? Or were people thrown in prison for our sakes? Were people gunned down for our sakes? And all of a sudden now the fight stopped? Man, these people are delusional. Sitting up in the master's house. Just like that slave, man. He no longer worried about running out the field no more to find freedom or to help. He wouldn't worry about running around with Harriet Tubman trying to get some other brothers and sisters out of the capitalist brutality in the South. You know why he wasn't worried about it no more? Man, because I'm living in the attic. I live in the attic. Every now and again, I give myself some fat back. He throw me some chitlins every now and again. And on Christmas, he even get a piece of the ham. That slavery thing, not too bad. Boston gave me a suit, and he didn't even put me in charge of some of these other unruly Negroes out here in the field. And look at us today. Our wealth have exceeded the wealth of our brothers and sisters in the second and third world countries. We have more luxury, indoor plumbing. We live like the Vanderbilts lived in the early 1900s. We don't use the latrines and go outside them. All of a sudden, them brothers and sisters forgot about. All in the meanwhile, all of the industrialized nations and all of the so-called first world nations, our comfort is derived off of their oppression. And we claim, like Abijah claimed, that God is with us because we walk in the rituals. Oh, man, it's a rude awakening coming. It's a rude awakening coming. Like the Messiah said, many going to come in that day and say, man, Lord, we done prophesied in your name. We done did wonders in your name. He going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They're going to be under the same delusion as Abijah. You thought you was on God's side. Matthew 23:23.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees.
Woe unto you.
Hypocrites.
Go ahead.
For ye pay tithes of mint
uh-huh.
and anise.
You pay your
law.
But you have omitted the weightier matters. And what are the weightier matters?
Judgment.
Judgment.
Mercy and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone.
This is what you should have done and not leave the others undone. Verse 27.
Verse 27.
Uh-huh.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees.
Woe unto you.
Hypocrites.
Go ahead.
For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Is that what we see today? Mm-hmm. What is of all the religion we see today? What of all of these people call themselves Israelites? What of all of these people call themselves Catholics and Protestants and such Christians and Baptists? They like whited sepulchres. Only thing that they have is ritual. Where's the justice in the land from all of this religion? You got Israelite camp. You got Israelite churches. You got Sunday churches. You got Pentecostal churches. You got Jehovah Witnesses. Where is the justice in the land? All I see around is a bunch of ritual. Take your shoes off. Come into Shabbat services. Put a suit on when you come into Sunday services. Nothing but ritual. Where's the damn justice? Damnation. That's why the Almighty said that his anger is kindled down to the lowest hells. Not pleased at all. Not pleased one bit. That's why we read in that Psalms, he's going to come and a tempest is going to be around him. Mountains going to melt before him. Kingdoms going to collapse before him. People better wake up. We better wake up and realize what's more important. Then he gonna accept our Sabbath services. Like whited sepulchres. Whited sepulchres. We getting ready to go into the overdrive. Anyone have any questions or comments, you could call 646-652-4520. You could take us back to that second Chronicles, chapter 13, 646-652-4520. Tell you, man, people talk about, that's why people who are looking for some justice and looking for something that makes sense in this world, what are they? I hear them all the time, they tired of religion. They tired of religion. They reject religion. And it just so happened that all of these religious people holding the Bible, where now they accuse the Bible of being too religious. But it's not. So Abijah claimed what he claimed. So let's pick it back up there.
Verse 12.
Continue.
And behold, God himself is with us. For our captain and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you.
And his priests is there to cry alarm against Jeroboam. Boy, he blasts against Jeroboam. And he continues.
O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord your fathers.
He said, don't fight against the Lord God of your fathers.
For ye shall not prosper.
Go ahead.
But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them, so they would but for Judah, and the ambushment was behind them.
But Judah prevailed. They prevailed. We won't have to finish reading that. They prevailed in this ambush. Ram Jeroboam off. So it looks like Abijah was right. It looks like he really was in the seat of Yahweh. But the Bible revealed to us what? He continued in the sins of his father. Mm-hmm. Read that for me again. Go back to that text. That should be, what is that? First Kings 15, I think.
Yeah, it is.
1 Kings 15.
Go ahead.
3 years reigned he in Jerusalem.
Abijah, one and the same. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem.
And his mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Abishalom.
Go ahead.
And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father.
As the heart of David his father. He didn't seek justice. What did he seek? Ritual. Mm-hmm. Cultists.
He
policing. He didn't seek justice. Now we are beginning to see. Now we are beginning to look at the fine cracks in the foundations of the house of Israel. We skipped over the judges, and we took it right to Samuel, the head man of the justice of the peace. And he proclaimed this many years prior, that what we're seeing take place right now among the kings of Judah and Israel, we're going to find it, it's going to escalate to the complete crash of their society and system. And what we want to do, we're filling these parts in. And hopefully we're confirming what we're teaching as we go along. But you know, God willing, what's going to crack this wide open is when we start to bring in the prophets, Isaiah, Amos, Jeremiah, when we start to bring in the prophets and find out what days and what kings they were reigning. Right now we're building up to it. See, Isaiah, none of them came yet. You got some prophets in the scene telling the people, you know, because he said he sent his prophets early now. We've been reading about some prophets going to the kings, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More are going to start to come. More are going to start to come and tell them to get their stuff in order. But with that, we're going to get ready to close out for this evening. And we got some people on the phone lines with us tonight. Anything you want to say before you open up the phone line?
No, just some great information. And like you said, if we're not abreast to what's going on, it's not going to make any sense to you. So, you know, people, make sure you're getting your study. That's me included. You know, make sure you're studying and reading to get, to, you know, to understand so you can well defend the faith.
Yes, sir. All right, well, we'll open up the phone line. We have air code 912-346, air code 912. Unmute your mic if you have anything to say or add to tonight's discussion.
Well, what's going on? What's going on, Brother Drew?
Hey, shalom, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, sir.
Good.
I actually caught half of the lesson. So what I did here, though, it was another masterful lesson. I want to tell you that I appreciate the information and just hearing a good word and understanding what righteousness and justice truly is, because you really opened my eyes to what righteousness and justice is starting to be, other than it being some, superstition, like you would say, or ritual, if you will. But I do have a question for you in reference to Skype. Sent you guys, a request, and
uh-huh.
I was just wondering if you guys had got it and if you had accepted it or not, because I see you on my phone log, but I don't know if you have accepted it or not.
Oh, see, we got to get on that. Tell me, what name is it under? Let me write it down.
Well, actually, I had put it Adulam 904.
Is that your Skype name?
Yes, sir.
Hold on.
I can add him to the group.
You can add him from here?
No, when I get back to the house.
Okay, we're going to write it down. The brother here know how to do it. He's going to add you. It's Adulam?
Yes, sir.
Adullam?
Yes, sir.
104, you said?
904.
904. Okay. Yeah, I would have to say I didn't hear anyone mention it. I don't know if they checked the request or not, but
mm-hmm.
We will get right on top of that. Now we know the name, what to look out for.
Yeah,
so we'll, God willing, we'll get right on that and pull you in. Most High willing, your mic, the young brother Mike, wind up pulling you in tonight when you get back to the residence.
Okay.
All right. But all right. Thank you. thank you for tuning in with us, and we appreciate your fellowship, and we appreciate your comment. Thank you very much. It's definitely encouraging.
Yes, sir.
All right, my brother.
All right. Peace.
Shalom and blessings to you and your house. Area code 716. Area code 716. 424. You're on with us tonight. You have any questions or comments? Area code 716. Okay. We'll come back to him. Area code 530-434. Area code 530-434. You on with us? Make sure your mic is unmuted if you're trying to say anything. And we got our up. Okay, I don't know if there's any technical difficulties with these other numbers. Try them again. Error code again. Error code 716. Okay. Area code 530. I think that's
BA.
Is it? That's what I'm thinking. Either him or his cousin. I remember the error code. I just don't remember the regular name. Okay. Well, it could be some technical things. But what we're going to do for the time, I don't know what's going on with the other numbers, but I guess we can get ready to close it down for this evening. We'd like to thank everybody who was able to tune in, who sat in, and we appreciate it, and God willing, we will be back on the scene dealing with more biblical topics on what is to be done and hopefully bringing clarity and understanding, hopefully, to the people who's honestly searching the scriptures, I'll tell you, because we definitely need that. Okay, 716 dropped off. That could have been, yeah, okay, yep. But, again, we get ready to close out. And before we close out, anything else you wanted to say? Just two numbers left on here. My brother from 912, anything else you want to say before we close out?
Well, no, sir, I'm good.
All right. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the other. Maybe they stepped away. I don't know. But anyhow, we appreciate it again. And shalom and blessings to you all until the next time.
All right.
Shall feel it all. see.